My dad had a lot of courage getting out of the car one summer evening. I was barely 14, my birthday only having passed a couple weeks before this happened. But at the time, in the state of New Mexico, I was almost old enough to get my learner's permit. So my parents decided that it was time to get me used to being behind the steering wheel of a car. So at summer nights, on our way home from dinner, my mom and dad decided that the best first step for me to get some experience was to drive the last tenth of a mile to our house. It would be my job to safely deliver my parents, my brother, and myself to our home almost at the end of our dirt road. It's not a terribly difficult task, given that the speed limit was 15 miles an hour, and the most likely thing that I would hit would either be some tumbleweeds or maybe a roadrunner. But it was still exhilarating and daunting for a 14-year-old who had never driven more than a few feet. As I think back to that night, I can't help but think about the tremendous courage my dad showed as he got out of the car at the top of our road and handed me the keys before getting into the back seat. Where we went and how fast we traveled was completely out of his control. Not only was the car at risk in this whole adventure, but so were the lives of my immediate family and the neighbors' fences, and if I got going fast enough, maybe even their houses. But there my dad sat, buckled into the back seat, waiting to see where this little ride would take us. Which is how I imagine God in these first couple chapters of Genesis, buckled into the back seat, very much along for the ride, and yet waiting to see where this little ride would take us. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth," the text says. God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit you shall have for its food, for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God has spent 6 days creating the world, separating the day from the night, the air from the water, and the land from the water. And of course, populating the earth with plants and animals first before creating humans. But suddenly, at the end of this process, God gets out of the driver's seat and hands off all of creation to humans. Humans who, in the grand scheme of things, were a little bit like newborns, just beginning to get a feel for who they are and what it is like to manipulate their hands and feet. Humans who, like a 14-year-old, hadn't ever really been behind the wheel and didn't know anything about how to drive. Yet here was God giving them dominion over everything, naming them as co-creators, naming us as co-creators. One could argue that it took a lot of courage for God to create the world, but it seems to me that the real act of courage was late on that sixth day when God gave creation over to humanity. No safety nets, no brake that could stop the car from the back seat, nothing. Just unbridled dominion, set free to see where this ride goes. And it's a ride that we're still on. And we're in the driver's seat. In his book, Being Me, Grady Nutt wrote, "I honestly believe that there beats in the breast of every person a desire to exert a dramatic influence on the course of life. I believe Mr. Nutt is right, and that that desire stems from God's courageous act of handing the keys of the creation car over to us. Some folks look around and say that we've already wrecked the car, that God was foolish to hand the keys over to us in the first place. And there are certainly things that could indicate that. Global warming, increased natural disasters, and the violence that we exact on each other. But there have also been many people who have tapped into that desire to exert some sort of dramatic influence on the course of life and created positive change. Our tradition's namesake, Martin Luther, exerted his influence by standing up to the Roman Catholic Church, a church that he was not only a member of, but also a priest in. And he said that things needed to change, that the church wasn't living into God's call. A man who shares part of his name, Martin Luther King Jr., exerted his influence by standing up and saying that things did not make sense for people to be treated differently based on the color of their skin. Rosa Parks decided not to get out of her seat, and Nelson Mandela refused to stay quiet even after he was arrested. These people exerted great influence on the course of our life, tapping into that desire which is born out of a little bit of God that is in each of us. And now, just one day past the 20th anniversary of a tragedy that has shaped our nation more than a year and a half into a pandemic, we also must tap into that little bit of God in each of us. The God in whose image we are created, the God who has instilled in us, each of us, a little bit of God's own nature. Because for as much as I imagine God getting into the back seat of the car with no brake to stop the ride, I believe actually that it's more like God getting into the shotgun seat. And maybe even more like my driver's ed instructors who rode next to me with a second brake in case something went horribly awry. God is there beside us the whole time, teaching us how to drive, cringing when we take a turn too fast or decide to go left when we probably should have gone right. But God is there correcting our driving when needed, and encouraging and then praising us when we accomplish a maneuver successfully. And from time to time, God may reach over and grab hold of the steering wheel just to change the outcome in a way that we couldn't make it happen. But most of the time, God is there to remind us of what God would do. To see creation, to see all of it, the plants, the animals, the night and the day, the water and the land, and all the other people with love and compassion. And when we see the world the way that God sees it, then we begin to do as God wishes. Choosing love when hate is easier, or choosing to do something at all instead of groaning and waiting for somebody else to make the change. Because God's creation was good, not perfect. And there's still work to be done. God is still creating, putting order to chaos, and sorting out where we should go, and has invited us along for the ride.